and welcome back to the Softpreneur Podcast, where anti-establishment thought leaders and holistic wellness visionaries get clear on how to build a business like nobody else's business, with your hosts, Dawn Petrin and Elisa Joaquin. Together, we co-create All Connected Agency. We help the wellness industry's most disruptive thought leaders express their essence louder and prouder to create more profitability and possibility. And now it's your turn. I am so delighted to introduce Arielle, CEO of Wisdom of the Womb. This conversation lit us up completely. It felt very multidimensional and alchemical and like ancient women coming together to talk about what it is to be a woman entrepreneur, sacred creator in this day and age. And I think you're going to love it. Arielle is an integrative fertility specialist, a licensed acupuncturist, a certified herbalist, a womb keeper, and she's helped thousands of women who didn't think they could conceive and have healthy pregnancies.
Yes, this conversation was so good. We started off by letting all y'all, geriatric millennials know that it is entirely possible for you to give birth even into your 40s. And then from there, we really went into the energetics of business, especially with through the lens of the traditional Chinese medicine system, the air, fire, wood, and ether. I think I got that right. We looked at tall poppy syndrome and how so many of us, women and men, are keeping ourselves small in order to not be rejected. We looked at the maiden, the mother, and the crone, and Arielle's hypothesis, or living into truth of the empress. And that is in between the mother and the crone, a time of sovereignty and self-leadership. We spoke a lot about yin and yang and listening to spirit and letting that intuitively guide your business and your life. We spoke about creative fertility as opposed to we spoke about creative fertility and how to create in this world outside of simply giving. Not that giving birth is simple, but giving birth. We spoke a little bit about Arielle's book, which is so good already. And then we spoke about intuition and flow rather than hustle, receptivity, along with the doing and letting life penetrate you in order to create. So with that in mind, let's dive in. Can't wait to share this conversation with y'all.
Hey, everyone. We are here with Arielle, CEO of Wisdom of the Womb. She's a licensed acupuncturist, womb keeper. She is really unlocked nature's answer for modern fertility and has helped so many women conceive, have children. Her story is incredible. And I'm so excited to be in conversation with you. And so to kick things off, as we normally do, I'll just ask you, do you have a spiritual practice? And is there anything you'd like to share with us about it?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. I've been really looking forward to this conversation. And I think the first thing I'll say about having a spiritual practice is I think that word for a long time kind of threw me off in a lot of ways, because I think I was brought up and raised to see it as something like outside of myself, like something out there, spirits out there, and kind of almost like I needed to disconnect from myself in some ways to tap into it or feel it or experience it. And for me, and that might be true for a lot of people, that they kind of go above their body or outside of their body. But for me, I couldn't really access my own sense of spirit until I really went into my body, through my senses. And so that really is my spiritual practice, is just being with my body and in my body. And also just, I think most spiritual process for me happens in relationship. So it could be relationship with nature or, with my body, with myself, but with other people. But there's also, I think I had this idea that I had to be outside of it, I know that purity thing of I'm always connected to spirit. And for me, it was really connecting with my senses and my body and other people and the earth. So
yay. Okay, that is amazing. I'm actually like not that adept at astrology at all, but I am a Kundalini yogini, and in Kundalini yoga, we speak about moving from like the Piscean age to the Aquarian age, and moving from like interacting with God or spirit through others and or like that it's outside of ourselves. And then in the Aquarian age, and I consider us like midwives or doulas of the Aquarian age, because we are certainly not in the middle of it. But in the Aquarian age, it's actually like you connect with source yourself, and you like no longer need the teacher or the guru in between you and source to understand it. So this idea of embodiment and relationship with body and others really resonates for me as a spiritual practice that's maybe accessible regardless of how we were raised or what spiritual is. So, yeah. And thank you for bringing that conversation on, because I actually don't think we've spoken about that yet. This idea of being raised to look outside of ourselves.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I see that as like one of the worst parts of religion, was that they're like, you don't have access to this, whatever it is, you know, whether it's God or energy or source or spirit, you know, you can't access it without the kind of intermediary of priest or even in kind of our time now, it's like, you can't access this without a shaman or a, you know, even like a psychedelic, I don't even, a facilitator. It's like, you know, you kind of need someone there rather than, I mean, which I think can be important and, you know, essential even for some people. But I think to the idea that like we can't connect in with ourselves and out there without the help of somebody is, yeah, it's kind of dangerous, I actually think.
Yeah. Okay. I think I can agree with that. Do you want to like elaborate a little bit about what danger might be?
Well, I don't know if I want to get into like the kind of shadow of the wellness industry, but I think that's there a lot. I kind of looked into, I forget the name of it, but there was at one point like, you know, just like sexual arts communities, and a lot of like, I met with some people and I just heard about some stories and stuff where a lot of people like giving their own power and agency away to somebody who was higher up than them. And even like we hear it all the time in my world, because we're kind of like adjacent to the medical industry. So many people just giving away their power to doctors and kind of just like, And actually like actively wanting to like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, you know? And it's almost like a way to not go into our body and to not really like take the opportunity to explore what our symptoms might be trying to tell us, or, you know, in my world, what our infertility might be trying to tell us. So I don't necessarily think it's like, you know, people in the, what would you call them, hierarchically more powerful, are like trying to do that. I think it's just the position that they're in. And often people are like actively wanting to engage with them that way. Like, let me not look at myself. Let me just tell me what to do. And so, yeah, that was kind of a long-winded answer, but
yeah, we are here for the conversation and we do not have to get into the shadows of the wellness industry at all. And we're here for that conversation too. So we could do a whole nother podcast about that. Like, side note, I posted a meme yesterday and it was like, me as a 3-year-old, don't tell me what to do. Me as an adult, can someone please tell me exactly what to do, what time to do it, and in what order to do it?
Or and I almost reposted it.
Right? Yeah. So I agree. Like, we don't want to give it away, but I think there's just so much information out there that it can be super overwhelming to figure out like what the best step is. And of course it's like individual for everyone when it comes to healing. So yes, there are many shadows in the wellness industry, and we don't have to dive into all of them right now. Ariel, this conversation is not going to be focused entirely on like women giving birth and fertility. And as a woman who's helped thousands of women like give birth and move from thinking they were infertile to being totally fertile, and I would love for you to answer this question for myself and all of my you know, late 30s, early 40s friends, because that's me. I'm an elder millennial. Is it possible to get pregnant and have a safe pregnancy, you know, in your late 30s and early 40s and beyond?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. The short answer is yes. But the longer answer is, it's like, I think a lot of people think their fertility is like on or off. Like it's either like we're fertile and then suddenly we're not fertile. And it really is a continuum, just like our overall health. Like I just see fertility as a reflection of our overall health and well-being and longevity. So if we're, you know, like by the time we're 40, you know, our lifestyle, if it's for 20 years, been like we're burning the candle at both ends and we're not getting good sleep and we're totally stressed, that accumulates over time. So like we can do that when we're in our 20s and maybe it doesn't affect our fertility or our health really at all, or in a visible way. But by the time we're 40, you know, if we're not really looking at our health and our overall wellness, it does have an impact, but it's not like all of a sudden it just drops, you know, like certain things do decline with age, but you know, I'm 45 and I think I'm still drinking my fertile mama tea. I'm not trying to have any more babies, but just for overall health, like trying to maintain my estrogen and my progesterone levels. So long answer, but the short answer is yeah, for sure.
Thank you. It does feel like maybe it's not shadow of the wellness world, but shadow of the allopathic medical world that is like, you know, geriatric pregnancy at 32. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I just got to a point where I could even imagine having children and you're calling me a geriatric. So
geriatric, that word. Well, one thing I always say is that there's such a big difference. Like most women don't even start thinking about or exploring their fertility until they're at the point where they're actually worried about infertility. So it's like there's a huge difference between being fearful and concerned or trying to fix infertility versus like exploring and, you know, getting into your experience of your fertility, which doesn't even have to have anything to do with having a baby.
Yeah, not that, you know, fertility of the womb coming out isn't the good stuff. But yeah, so we have been working with you for a little while now, and you and I have been connected, I think, oh my gosh, like 9 months or something like that, 8 months. And it's been so amazing to watch you. And I don't know what you were doing before because you were very quiet when we first met, but to watch and witness you begin to explore fertility as more than just like women giving birth. So do you want to speak to us a little bit about that? And also like when that exploration started for you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll kind of share it in terms of like my own story too, because they're so interwoven. My work has always really felt like just an expression of my own experience, and I never had fertility issues. But when I first started, like 2005, when I graduated from acupuncture school, I was working in Hoboken. I had a little wellness center there, and I wasn't actually even that interested in fertility. It's so funny how like, I don't know, I feel like that path just kind of like came to me. And now I'm like, oh, it was always my path. Like I can look back at my teen years and my first period and my relationship to the feminine and be like, oh, this was always it. But it wasn't something I was like actively seeking. I wasn't interested in fertility. But so many women, I think, because I was like outside of New York City and there was a lot of career women, so many women just coming to me for fertility that I kind of got into it and became really good at it and was pretty successful and started connecting with the reproductive endocrinologists in the area. And I even like opened in like the St. Barnabas Women's Center in Jersey City. Like I was really tapped into like that kind of, I would say, medical side of things, because it was still, you know, Chinese medicine and acupuncture and a lot more holistic, I'll say. But it was still kind of like looking at NABs and numbers and comparing them to like yin and yang. And I think I just kind of like went with that for, I mean, I had the practice for 10 years, but I was always interested really in like the women that didn't get pregnant. Like I had a really high success rate. I think it was like over 75%. But like for me, it was like, what about these women that like, it's not like I'm doing all the things, they're doing all the things, and it's just not happening. And it was like, I could really feel that there was this something that like I couldn't access. Like I didn't know how to access. I could feel it, but like I didn't have the questions. I didn't know how to ask the questions. I didn't know how to be with what was there other than like the kind of coming over the top of it with my, you know, logical mind. Even though it was in the framework of Chinese medicine, it was still pretty like logical. And I think what I was feeling was like my intuition and like what I would say is more like yin, my body, the feminine, but I had no connection to that myself really at the time. And I won't go into the whole like life story of it, but we ended up moving to Colorado in 2016. So at that point I had been practicing for over 10 years and kind of felt like I was done with fertility. It was just gonna, my husband at the time developed an autoimmune disorder, and I just felt like he'd be happier and we'd all be healthier in Colorado, and kind of felt like I was done with fertility. Honestly, it was kind of like, all right, like go to Colorado. It feels expansive. And I was really being called at that time to like dive into the realm of the feminine. Like I had kind of, I don't know like what books or like how I had accessed it, but I had like a taste of it through some like workshops I'd done, and just really felt a call to like connect in with the elements and with nature and with the feminine. And I just spent like a few years like reading, you know, like really like reading all the books, and I couldn't help but then see fertility through that lens, you know, through that new kind of framework of the feminine. And so even though I thought I was done with fertility, kind of like created Wisdom of the Womb, which was really like less about like, what are your hormone levels and, you know, what's going on in your brain and your hypothalamic pituitary axis, and a lot more like, you know, what are the energies that are, you're not experiencing, and like, and really looking at like the past 4,000 years, how like this element, this aspect of yin has been like, so just like gutted from ourselves and our society and the earth. And so, yeah, that probably was, well, I moved 8 years ago. And so that was really when the shift kind of began. And it's really an ongoing, unfolding, deepening journey for me. So, yeah.
So amazing. And it's so interesting because I feel like the shift in the wellness space too, like over this time, has gone from like what you were saying, even about like spiritual practice, from I feel like when a lot of us were exploring these things, when like wellness had its first boom, I won't give it a date right now, but it was a lot about like, oh, there's a healer and they're here to show me, they're going to heal me. First of all, they're going to like, and a lot of like seeking outside authority or asking somebody else how to do it. And maybe that's also like if, when you're sort of starting to walk that kind of path toward wellness, you want, or like a lot of us want or need like somebody who's already walked it before to like open some doors until you get to a point where you feel like more able to, you know, open the doors yourself, or the deeper invitation is like, oh, how do I like take more ownership of this, or how can it be embodied and empowered? So yeah, I think that is so cool. And I'm wondering too about like, for the women out there, I feel like it's very common for a lot of us not to be in our yin, whether, and ironically too, even if you're mothering and you're mothering and working as you were, or, you know, running a business, since this is the Softpreneur podcast, we've got a lot of entrepreneur and business owner listeners. So how have you found more flow with that as you've been exploring the yin? I'd love to hear about that journey a bit.
Yeah. I mean, with all of it, I'll just talk about business, because when I had my apothecary, it was like, I opened it when I was 5 months pregnant, because I was like, I can't not work, you know, and I knew I wanted to be like attachment parent, mom, you know, like really committed to my children. And not that it would have been like financially easy to not work, but like, it's not like I was making money. I was really like paying the babysitter, you know, at that point. But I think because my parents had gotten divorced and because my mom was really struggling at one point after that, I always was like, okay, I'm not going to, you know, not have this career. But so that was always a, like, I always felt like I was trying to be like 100% mom and also have this wellness center. Like, I don't know who I was, who I thought I was, but I was like, yeah, I'm 5 months pregnant. Let me open a wellness center instead of just like have a practice. But really it was like, I was constantly feeling like I wasn't doing enough. I think that's something when you know you're not in your yin is when you're like constantly just feeling like nothing you do is enough. Like I was doing, I look back and I'm like, holy shit, like doing so much. And it like never felt like enough. So I think that is like a huge thing is that when I started Wisdom of the Womb, it felt really like, I don't know, just like descending into like, I'm just going to trust this. And it became so much more than I could have envisioned. Like I had no, like I wasn't interested in being on social media. I had never had an e-commerce site. Like it wasn't something I like intended to do, but it was again, like the path just unfolded. Like I met my neighbor who had a fulfillment and distribution place and we partnered. And so a lot of it was like, I'm not going to try to do everything myself and try to be 100% at everything. It was kind of like, I'm just going to do what I could do, show up and be me. So yeah, like now I have a lot more trust in like that it will just go the way it needs to go. And I can't force anything. And I think because I opened, like I started it with that, like it felt like, I was writing about this, but it felt like yin being like penetrated by yang. And it was like this spark of life that just created this thing that like I wasn't intending. It was like, okay, like I can't like will this or like control this. It's almost like I see the business as the way I would see a patient, which is like, it's just how is the energy moving and where are their blocks and how can I, you know, almost like I'm not using an acupuncture needle, but I might be using just something else to unblock, you know, so that it can be what I kind of see it as like its own living, breathing thing. And I just have to like support its wholeness rather than like will it, which is, I think, what I was trying to do before.
Okay. Wow. There is so much depth and so many interesting points in this. And I want to say, so one of the things we're doing with Ariel is just helping her. We're dooling a book for her. And it was funny.
I love that you guys are my book doulas.
Yeah. We have a big background on you, right? Like, and we don't have time to get into it all in this pod, but you guys need to get that book when it's ready. And the one thing that really like sparked for me as I was first reading your words a couple of months ago, actually, was something that you also brought up here. Like you were like, I don't know, like I didn't mean to come into fertility, but when I look back, it seems like it was always the path. And a thing that I feel like you do so well, and maybe you didn't always do it, but I think if we look back, we can see that like even in your like go, 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 yang, yang, yang time, you were doing that, is like listening to a call of spirit and sort of like doing what it tells you and then letting it evolve for you. Does that sound telling?
Yeah, you know, it's just when you were talking about that and you said, maybe I've always listened to spirit. I definitely was like, kind of, I never use this word, but it's the only word I have for it, is like a little psychic as a kid. So like, I always had a deep connection to spirit. It was just like, I would just know things like, and I felt like I could will things. Like it was weird. Like we used to go to this thing where there'd be like a raffle ticket and you could win the ticket. And I would always like pick the ticket and be like, this is going to be the winner. And once like my brother had a ticket on his seat and I was like, his is the winner. And I switched it and won. So it was like just little things like that, that was kind of like, whoa, you know, I don't know what that is. So I always felt like I had a deep connection to spirit, or like I would like know what people were thinking, or, but then I kind of got like freaked out of me a little bit. Like I think my parents were like, what? Like that's freaky. And I think it scared me a little bit. So I just like shut it down. But I think I always trust, there was a sense of like just knowing what the right next thing was. Like I always had that, like a real trust of like, all right, I'll know what, like what I should do. Or like even like, you know, I didn't know where I wanted to go for my junior year abroad. And I was like, I liked the name of Adelaide. So I went, it was just like little things like that, that like, maybe everyone has that, or you just like make it up and then you make it work. But I always felt like it was like spirit. I don't know. I always felt like that connection of like being guided somehow. I don't know if that's really like answering your question.
I think it is. And I want to bring it back to the yin part of it. And I do think it's probably, so I want to preface this by saying, I'm not saying being in your yang doing is not listening to spirit, but do you think that, I mean, as I speak, it feels so obvious, but do you think that receptive state of yin might be a place for where both women and men can receive more of these messages intuitively from themselves or spirit?
Yeah, I mean, so I have a deep respect for yang energy. I'm an Aries. I have a lot of yang energy. So that's kind of like my more natural state. But sorry, my dog is snoring. I'm not sure if you could hear that. He's so loud. But yeah, like one of the things like really connecting in with yin that I also say, like when I compare it to like our follicles, like we can't ripen if we're like contracted, if we're not open to receiving. So can I curse on your podcast? I kind of compare it to like getting fucked by life. Like let life fuck you, like in the best way. Like let that energy just like move through you. So I see the energy that's coming through as yang energies, and then it sometimes will motivate us to like act and do. But if we're constantly in that do state and we don't just like take a minute to receive or take time, which I think our society doesn't really like our culture and hustle culture, it doesn't like let us feel like okay, like maybe we feel guilty about like resting or taking a bath or so. Yeah, for sure. Like I always say, like, if we're just like controlling everything, like how is there space to actually receive what wants to come through us?
Yeah. And I think when it comes to fertility and creativity, we think of a couple of things, right? We think of like giving birth, and then we think of like making art. And in my life, and I am an artist, I'm a poet, and I haven't written poetry in a long time. But in my life, I've come to realize that like my creative fertility is actually around creating situations, and that like business can be that way, and that we can approach business as softpreneurs or women or whatever, people in our feminine as a creative space to, yeah, like mold the ethers into something solid. And this is again what I feel like I got a twinge of when I was reading the first part of your book, speaking about your story and your businesses. And I wonder, yeah, first I wonder if that resonates. And then I don't know if we have time, but we probably can't go over your entire career. But I would love, because it's like, I mean, I want to, but I would love to hear for you. So there's two things. One is when you were feeling creative and fertile in your business, what did that look and feel like? And what were the results? And then when you're having challenges in your business, how do you come back to yin instead of like the will?
Well, also I'm kind of like, how much do I share here? You know, I think because my work is in like fertility and womb energy, I don't think I can like do it without it like really impacting my whole life. And there's also a part of me that if I'm not fully living like fully from that space, I almost feel like I'm a fraud. Like if I'm like blocking that energy in myself, it's kind of like, how can I be sharing this with women? And it's, there's like two different parts of my work. Like in part, it's like just, I sell some tea online, you know, but like this deeper, like underneath happening is kind of like, yeah. I mean, how did it feel like when I was like really alive in my work? It felt like I was actually like destroying my whole life. No, I was tearing down the structures that like weren't supportive of like the flow of like life force in me. And that looked like ending my 20-year marriage. And like, so that was 2 years ago. And that was really when like Wisdom of the Woo was taking off. And I was feeling all of this just like, you know, fire energy. Like I don't just talk about like yin and yang. I talk about like all the elements. And so when I was like just gestating and building it, that was really like water. And then moving into the wood energy was when I was like, okay, I wanted this to go somewhere. I want to do something with this. And then when it was in like the summer, full bloom fire, it was kind of like, whoa, really, this is happening. And that was all happening in myself too. So it was really starting to feel a lot of like my like sexual energy and feeling like really wanting to like explore this yin and yang. And and just really feeling like there wasn't, I wasn't being met in my marriage in that way. So yeah, I ended a 20-year marriage, you know, won't go read my book if you want to hear about that. But how I feel like when it's, you know, sometimes like right now I'm having a like difficult time in the business that I won't go into that much. But yeah, I really have this feeling like the feminine, like is my partner, you know, spirit and not even just the feminine, because now I'm really seeing it as more like for a while it was the feminine and now it feels so much more like the relationship between feminine and masculine and yin and yang and like the creation that can come when those two are in right relationship. So I really trust that like that is my partner and that there's like, you know, something that wants to come through me. And so even when things are difficult or I have to like just deal with like, you know, real shit that we have to deal with, it's kind of like I surrender to it, which I don't know if I would have been able to do that even 5 years ago. Like I just really trust life and I trust this like energy I'm working with and that it's like not about me and, you know, my will kind of, it's got like a force I believe that like there's this energy that like wants to be created on this planet that we need. And in some ways, like, I don't even know how I'm doing that yet, but I feel like it's a part of that wants to come through me. And yeah, so just kind of a lot of surrender, but also like stuff doesn't necessarily like move as quickly when I'm in that place. Like things are just kind of like, all right, this is where it is and not a lot is happening. And like that is hard for me because I like for things to be happening like all the time. But it's just like, okay, I just have to like let go and trust it.
I love that so much. And I feel like you're like proofs that you can be a woman in feminine and in your like sensual aliveness and like succeed or use that as like an engine in your business. And I feel like that's like a secret thing that a lot of maybe women and women entrepreneurs or women who are working all the time, it's like there might be a way in which sexual energy gets kind of tamped down or like, you know, or all of the energy gets put into work and then like women don't really feel their like sexual life force. I don't know if you see that a lot with the women that you've worked with, but I love witnessing in you how it's like that can be alive. And I feel like one of the definitions of softpreneur or like this kind of entrepreneurship is like you is really like walking your talk or taking your medicine as like part and like almost like a bread and butter aspect of business growth. There's no separation between you and the medicine you offer and how you show up.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think there's a lot of like, I don't know if it's shame or just, you know, stuckness around sexuality. And I think that like, if we don't even have to talk about sexuality, but it could just be like sensuality, you know, like just like feeling our senses. Like, I think that's one of the things that is so important. Like, I think it's important for everyone, but I work with women. So that's what and I am a woman. So, but like to like experience our senses in this body, I feel like is like where so much of our magic is and so much of our power is. And so to just be like, I'm just going to be from my mental, you know, which I get. I feel like we had to, you know, that's how we had to function in so many industries to like prove ourselves is to be like, I can be just as like intelligent and intellectually, you know, whatever the word is, mental, like in my mental consciousness as a man. And rather than, you know, really honoring what is special about us is that we do feel, you know, and that's not like that's not something that is going to be negative or a disadvantage for us as we run our businesses or do our work. It's actually like a superpower. So I think it's in some ways it's like, you know, there's different waves of feminism. And I think we're like coming out of that wave of feminism that was like, I can succeed in a man's world as well as any man. And it's like, well, that, like, how's that going? Right. Like, okay. Or maybe we can like begin to really value what is special about us and, you know, come from that place. Cause I think it's needed. I really do. And I think like, obviously it's needed. I think we could all agree that we need that. And I kind of like, you know, in some ways it's like, okay, I was working with fertility. Like, how could I not tap into the feminine? But I think it's important in whatever you're doing. Like, Dawn, you're talking about doing it from your places, marketing and business. And so, you know, whether you're an architect or a doctor, you know, it doesn't matter. I think if we can like really connect in with all of our senses, you know.
Yeah. And surrender to the creation that's coming through. Where I first felt that was when I was owning the yoga studio and had no idea how to do any of it. And so it was like, okay, you are a being and I am here to support you being, you know, you're a being of a community. And I think, yeah, a lot of our listeners are in this like wellness world and they're wellness entrepreneurs. And I think what we want to do, to borrow from Kelly, is like open a permission field for sensuality and connection to obviously spirit, because we talk about that a lot, but connection to intuition and the creative force to be a way for women and men to build, let's call it business, but like build this exchange of value and growth into like a living abundantly, all of us, you know. And I think we get real stuck in like the logic or like, how do I launch this? Do I do it Jeff Walker style? Or do you know what I mean? Like, should I follow this templatized launch? Or should I like go with my gut? And this is what I really feel. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there is, this is coming through. Like, there more and more women like you are rising up. Other women who did it the other way are like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I have to experiment and be in my body. And we interviewed our friend who you know too, Jenny, last week. And she's really like, man, I pushed so hard being the A student. Like, I had a therapy practice and then I went online and I was A studenting. I was doing everything everyone told me. And she's been successful for years. And now she's like, boy, I just want to do this in a way that feels true to me from my creative impulse, really. And I think that we can. Like, I really, this is a belief that I have and that I've experienced in All Connected and in other businesses, which is like when you trust, there are shaky times, but generally it's like the thing comes through right before you're about to give up. And if you had given up, you wouldn't, you know, and I feel like that give up comes from logic because you're like, oh, nobody's done this before. And like, I've been yawning. And it's almost like there's this like break that happens where you, like Lacey from To Be Magnetic talks about it as like the rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, sometimes you pause and then shit starts happening again. And I think like if we could give women and men the chance to pause prior to hitting rock bottom and like listen, then we might all be able to. Yeah, I really want to like, I know we teach the like holistic business method, but I kind of want to let go of business and start talking about like exchange of value with each other. And I think there's such a beautiful way that we can be creating a world where we are all receiving so much bounty in exchange for sharing our creativity.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about the pause and it's like, I think unfortunately, I love that. And I think unfortunately it's like it's set up so that so many people are just like hustling and have to in order to like, you know, get their next, live through their next paycheck. And it's almost like the system is like set up so that like we don't have time to just be like, let me just sit with like, what do I want? You know, what's coming through? It's like, you know, so I do think it's a privilege and it should be, and it's, you know, it should be just everybody gets that. But unfortunately, it's like a privilege to actually make some space, which is nuts.
Totally. Throughout this conversation, I've had like flashes of like us like sitting at a campfire in another lifetime or dimension. And I feel like you bring out this really like ancient quality of women doing their alchemical work. So it's just like, yeah, I feel like we are at this like very interesting time where women who are in this space of, let's call it, I don't know, sacred creatorship. I don't even know if I'll call it entrepreneurship. It's like we've danced this before and we're getting to dance it again. And we like to ask, oh, my baby boy is coming in. Little caveat. Yes, I am a mom of a boy who's almost two, and he's with me, and I'm learning how to. He's always like kind of part of, he's definitely part of our all connected family and meetings and everything.
That's how it should be, really. This idea that like we're supposed to like separate out our motherhood from our like work too is like, that's got to go.
We can't. Like, no, exactly. And it's like, how can we honor our creativity if at the same time we're hiding the fruits of our fertility, you know? Or like, I mean, my mom was the most amazing mom ever, and she listens to the podcast, but I definitely grew up and did not do this, but like, children are meant to be seen and not heard, right? And she didn't like silence me a lot, but I obviously am a speaker. I speak a lot. And I actually think that, you know, children are meant to be seen and heard. And, you know, and also be respectful at times, probably too. So I know where Elisa was going, but I'm going to pause because actually, before we go into that, I want to hear about this concept that you've been speaking to us about, that is the Empress. As opposed to the crone, maybe, or as part of that. Can we speak about that? Because I think a lot of us think that once we're done maidening and not even done mothering, but as soon as we start, like our kids are like 10, we're like, oh God, I'm in crone now. And it's like women's worth falls. And like, once you have wrinkles, you might as well like get off the stage. And I don't know if this is your idea, but you introduced me to this idea of the Empress, and I love it. So can you tell us a little bit more about him?
Sure. So the typical like three stages of womanhood were maiden, which is like, you know, before, I think of it as like between like 14 and 21. And then mother, whether or not you have children, it's like the age where you're like an agent of your own life, like you're the creatrix of your life, whether or not you're, you know, having children. And then crone, which is like, and you're like, and I think that word too, like we have connotations of that word that are like hag in the woods, like, you know, that's, I think there was a time where that was a much more like respected elder who had a lot to offer still. I have heard of people bringing in this in between mother and crone. I know Kimberly, is it Johnson? I'm like blanking on her name right now, but she had called it MAGA. But I think that word's, we can't use that anymore. So, which was kind of like the in-between, like you're not, you know, you're not having children anymore. You're kind of past the, so, and I see it as far as the elements too. Like I see mother time as like, you're in the summer of your life. You're like in full bloom. You're like bursting forth. It's like in late summer, kind of full bloom. You know, the rose is like fully, fully bloomed. And then after that, the petals start to fall off. So it's like we see the decline, you know, I don't want to use that word, but it's almost like we're going into the metal element, which comes after summer. I'm like, is that right? Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, what part do I go into this with? But I see the Empress as the time. I'm calling it the Empress because I feel like there's like a sovereignty to it. Like I'm the, you know, I'm no longer giving so much of my energy away. Like motherhood, it's your full bloom, but you're so ripe and you're often like giving that, you know, like giving, giving, giving. And also it's like, whether or not we have children, we still end up during that time often giving a lot of our energy away. And so there's this shift to what I'm calling the Empress. It's kind of like a real, kind of ownership of like your preciousness. Like the metal time is all about like our remembering our preciousness. And that often does come from loss. Like I see it as kind of like the blood phase of our cycle when we might be bleeding, or it's like, what are we letting go of in order to move into this next thing? And there does come a lot of grief with that. Like we can grieve the youth we once had, or the beauty, the like version of beauty that was we had in maiden or mother. But we recognize that kind of with everything that we're letting go of, there comes like this extract, or like this distillation of like this perfect gem of like, you know, essence that is us then, that we're bringing forth into this next version of ourselves. So I really felt that, like, I kind of, like, you know, I'm 45. So, like, really at 40, I was kind of like, oh, God, like, what's, you know, like, what's happening? You know, like, but also, like, not wanting to go back. Like, I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to start, like, you know, injecting my face. Like, I want to know who I am and what I look like. I think that's important for the younger ones coming up below us. Like, I couldn't look around and, like, really know what women look like, because I see a lot of, like, lips and fillers, and, like, there's not really a judgment of that. It just feels like, well, I don't want that. Like, I kind of want to, like, own this version of my beauty. And certainly I, like, didn't appreciate what I looked like when I was in my maidenhood or even in my mother, you know. It's like, but there's a sense of, like, when you're losing what you never felt like you had, kind of, it's almost like, you know, there's a way I feel like I'm, like, reclaiming it for myself, and also recognizing, like, my capacity in the world, my agency, my sense of myself in a way that I didn't in my younger years. So yeah, it's still kind of in, as you can tell, there's a lot of, like, words around it, and it's not necessarily, like, formulated into, like, a clear, concise, like, this is what the Empress is, but that's kind of some of the energy that's swirling around it. It's like, yeah, just this phase of motherhood where, like, I'm not going away, not motherhood, of womanhood, where it's like, I'm not, you know, an old crone in the woods, you know, like, there's a lot of respect for that. Like, I can't wait to be that one day. But, like, you know, I still feel very, like, alive and like, creative. It's just a different sense of the word creativity.
When I turned 40, I was freaking out. So I'm 41 now. And I, like, you know, I'm dating a dude who's younger than me, so I think that was part of it. And then also, when I was growing up, and I mean literally, like, in my 20s and 30s, I was often the youngest in the room. And then all of a sudden I was becoming the oldest in the room. And then, like, 2 weeks after I turned 40, I, like, landed, and I was like, this is just who I am. And if y'all don't like it, meh, you can F off. And as you were speaking about, like, sovereignty and, like, owning our beauty and stuff, I was like, shit, that must have been me. Not that I'm, like, done with my mother and giving, and I don't think you necessarily need to, because grandmothers are also doing that, right? But maybe that was me coming into this thing that you're speaking about, this, like, empress. There was this strength that I had always had, and I'm not done with all my insecurities, but a lot of them just seem to, like, fall away. It's like I thought by being younger I was better, and then I turned 40 and I was like, oh shit, I'm in a different decade. And I was like, actually, I'm still really great, or something. So I don't know if that fits exactly, but I do feel like there was this, like, solid coming into my center that happened, that I'm not sure if it would have if I hadn't been watching the passing of the years and realize, like, I am in a different decade where people are think, like, if I, cause I look young, right? So if I tell people I'm like, yeah, I'm 41, they're like, no, right? But I am. And I feel like I hold myself stronger, and that my aura takes up the space that it was afraid to take up this before.
I love that so much. And I feel like, Ariel, something you've been writing about that's been really moving to me and is moving in this conversation that we're all speaking about is this, like, idea of, like, when we're younger in our maidenhood, we don't or really can't fully, like, often own the beauty that we are. And that's probably a lot to have or possess or radiate. That's probably a lot to do with our society, right? Like, a lot of ways where it doesn't maybe fully safe to, like, own beauty all the time. Or, and even it's not just, like, women, like, I feel like I'm going to be physically threatened, but even, like, women with the sister wound are not feeling safe to, like, fully shine, or the mother wound. I don't want to eclipse other women. Don and I talk about, like, tall poppy syndrome.
I just read that. I just met a Kiwi, and it was like, he was telling me about tall poppy syndrome, and it was like, oh, I've never heard that. Yeah.
I know. I heard that from a coach who talks a lot about imposter syndrome. And she was like, okay, but let's talk about tall poppy syndrome, which is the idea, not that you think you're an imposter, but that you're, like, a tall poppy, and that your, like, bigness or too muchness or shining might dim other poppies. Like it might cut out the, it might cast some shade on others. They might not get the light that they need. And I think a lot of women who are strong and, you know, have a propensity to lead and share, we get a little bit of like, oh, I'm too, I think a wound, right? Or a thing, insecurities, I'm too much, or being afraid of, yeah, of our tall poppiness, our bigness, our success. And I feel like something you've been writing about that's been really moving to me is this, like, and it's kind of sad, right? That we don't always fully celebrate the beauty of our maiden years. There's like often a lot of attack on the body or the little imperfections, but like coming into harmony with that whenever and wherever we do. So yeah, is there anything you'd like to share on that with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that you said that I'm like, ooh, I could, yeah. But, you know, I think the distinct like flavors of maidenhood is that, you know, it, like, I think it's such a powerful time, but one of the things about it is that you can't really feel your own power in it. You know, like you're not really supposed to yet because you're just coming up. You're like, you know, just developing, like everything is new. It's not like you've really like landed in this new body. And that as soon as you like start to feel maybe like to recognize how like amazing you are, beautiful you are, it's almost like that the time has passed. And I think a lot of women get stuck in that transition. Sarah Durham Wilson talks about it so much, so I won't go into that, but she does a lot of work about like getting stuck in maidenhood, and that getting stuck in that is kind of like giving away our power. Like even as we're supposed to be like coming into our own power and agency, we like give it away and want to be saved. And so anyway, her book, Maiden to Mother is really, really good. But yeah, I do think there's something like, I think that one of the, when I think about like a healthy, mature masculine and also a healthy, mature feminine, I think they really protect the maiden, you know, protect that time, protect that innocence. Cause it is supposed to be an innocent time, like a time of real, you know, purity and innocence. And it's like, so, not, you know, like I think about like, I mean, I don't have daughters, but I know when I was like 12, I started to be like sexualized by, you know, creepy older men. They were probably like 40. But so, you know, I think that's just not protected and not really like respected in any way. And I think that, you know, and then also like, that's the version of beauty that's so like fetishized and idealized as like the only version of beautiful. So I think there's like, that could be a whole other thing, but there's so much there. And then you were saying something else that I wanted to respond to, but now I'm forgetting what it was. You made a lot of good points. I'll remember on the replay.
On the tall poppy piece or the women afraid of their own kind of magnificence?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly felt like too much and all the wrong things for so long. You know, I think in some ways, like becoming a, you know, a teenager, and I'm like an Aries, and I am like, felt loud, or, you know, like, but I'm also, anyway, I just never felt like feminine enough. Like I never felt like I knew how to like do feminine, you know, other than like a performative thing I saw people doing. It was kind of like, I don't really know how to do that. And then even when I was like, you know, kind of, first getting into like the feminine space, I would like see, women doing like goddess work or something. And I was like, well, I'm not that either. Like, I'm not like soft and flowy. And, you know, I'm kind of like fiery. And, you know, I just didn't feel like I was like soft enough. So I think one of the things that I've really come to understand about like the feminine and earth energy, and it like holds everything. Like, it's not just one thing. And it's certainly not just like soft and flowy. And like, yeah, there's the space for yin, but it's like yin contains within it yang. You know, that's one of the most beautiful things about yin and yang, is that they're always in relationship. And yin without yang is pretty non-functional. You know, like, it's just as dysfunctional as what we call toxic yang, which is yang, you know, absent yin. So I think that's what I was kind of feeling or experiencing when I was like first looking at like the goddess world. It was just felt like all like love and light and flow. And it's like, well, yin is darkness, and, you know, the depths, there's not light. So anyway, that's another, we have so many things to talk about. I'm trying not to just like go off on all these tangents, but
Let's go off on tangents. Yeah, the goddess Kali is hidden. You know, she's like busy traipsing through the graveyards and all of her like deep blue blackness, slaying demons. And then we're like, oh, Lalita, let's put you up on a pedestal. So like, I feel that like when you said fetishizing the maiden, I had never thought of that before. And yeah, it really like it is more of a fetish. And this idea that we can be trapped in it and then we are always sort of giving away is, whoa, I'm just, my mind is blown right now. So that's all. I'm not even trying. We're already like a longer podcast for us and I love it. But yes, we will have you back on again for sure.
I love talking to you guys. You make me think about lots of things and I don't often get to like talk about all this stuff. So just to like put it into words, I'm like, yay, it's exciting to me. So thank you.
Amazing. I wanted to share this like recent, well, it's not recent, but just this feeling of like light bulb of woman life of like, oh, I'm so glad I no longer want to be a princess anymore or like act like a princess in life anymore. And I would like so rather be in queen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like how sad that like our fairy tales were like, let me be like almost dead, like asleep under a glass, you know, whatever, like Sleeping Beauty, and need to be like kissed by a man to like, you know, awake to have life. Yeah, bizarre. This the fairy tales we were raised with. They certainly didn't give us many other options besides like wanting to be. I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, so I certainly didn't have like Mulan and all the new girly fairy tales that are much more about agency. But yeah, like let me be a princess and wait for someone to rescue me.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the last little thing on that is, you know, it's so interesting, like in the, like it's put so beautifully in Women Who Run With the Wolves, Essie's book, but this idea that like often becoming or rewilding ourselves to the wild woman involves struggle or endurance or getting to know the depths, right? Like in our innocent or maiden years, like that's where often the poor bargain takes place, where we offer up the wildness for an idea of security. And then like I feel like a lot of us here were taking this heroine's journey, right? To more sovereignty and agency.
Yeah. I just wanted, I know we're like at time two, but like it goes back to that like senses thing where I think we're like, so many of us are raised to like be pleasing, you know, like to look good to other people's senses, you know, to like to be seen. And I think there's something about like getting back in our senses, like what do I want to feel? What do I want to taste? What do I want to like see? Like what looks good to me? Not like, do I look good to you? You know, so I think so much like younger years is like me, you know, and now it's like, what do I want to taste? You know, like if it feels like a lot more like, you know, it could be our animal selves. So yeah, I like that rewilding reminder.
Yes, I love it. And I actually think this really is a great segue into, you know, a question we're trying to ask our listeners and hello, or not listeners are, well, yes, sure, our listeners. We want to know yours too. But the people who are on our podcast, our guests, what is your vision for the collective?
I mean, so many. There's so many. But I think it really comes back to like, I think what will like permeate out from this one is like having a much, much deeper reverence and respect for our earth and like, so us as our earth's creatures. You know, like Charles Eisenstein talks about considering our earth instead of like Mother Earth, start referring to it as Lover Earth, because mother tends to mean like we take, we extract, and like they don't need to give us anything back. And lover, it feels like just a lot more like a reciprocal relationship. And I think we need to do a lot more giving back to the planet and just like really honoring and respecting like how much she's giving. And I think that if we really have a sense of like how much we're consuming and taking, and I think we'll just, and I like to think that once we like feel that earth energy in us, how it lives in us, we'll just like respect and love each other a lot more and have a lot more compassion and care for one another and not be so divided. Yeah, there's a lot that comes from that, that like I think would reverberate out. But I think if we're like living on depleted soil, like we're all just living in scarcity. So yeah, bringing abundance back to our earth and hopefully to ourselves while we do it.
Oh, speaking my language, my love. Thank you. I'm like, oh, okay, let's just start talking about the, let's pause and start the next one.
You know, regenerative farming, anybody?
That's it. That's everything. Zach Bush, come on the pod.
I know. Oh my God.
Yeah, let's get him on. Okay. So I think, I mean, really, let's end there, except where is the best place for people to find you?
Yeah. So website is wisdomofthewombonline.com. Instagram is Wisdom of the Womb. We're Facebook. I think the group or the Facebook page is actually like All Women Are Fertile. And yeah, those are the best places.
Okay. And is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know before we go?
I just do want to share like how wonderful you two are to work with. They've been doulaing my book. It's been such a pleasure for me. I like didn't know how I'd write this book. And it's just been, you've helped me romance the muse. So I just want to give you credit and thanks for that.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Jenny said the same thing. And now I'm like, wait a minute. We can't ask this question anymore. Because it's like, not that we don't want you to work with us, listeners. Please work with us. But it feels self-serving. And I'm going to receive that. And you are such a pleasure to work with as well. So I can't wait for that book to be like, ooh. I mean, I can wait, right? We're going to rest into it as the rest of it comes out. But yes, those of us who are listening, I don't think there's a wait list for this book yet, but as soon as there is, you need to get on it because it has been, it's like, Ariel, I don't think you know this, but like, I swear every paragraph is like a loving punch in the gut as far as like how like visceral and like transformative it is. So yeah, just so you know, like I know you're a creative force just from the pages that I've read so far. I think anyone who's listening who has a book in them and is like nervous about it or doesn't think it needs to come out, I think a lot of that is the tall poppy, like our fear of our creativity and stepping up and shining. And then, you know, the rest of the tall poppy, because we didn't quite speak about it in this, but the rest of it is like you feel like you'll shine and then be rejected by the people that you want to love you. Right. It's like the tall and then we like talk ourselves out of doing that creative thing in order to make space for others to do the creative thing. When the truth is, when we get taller, we make space for others to grow. So you can find Ariel on her Instagram. We'll post everything obviously in the show notes. It has been an absolute pleasure, my dear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur Podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.